We are now recording. So, hi,
okay.
Nick.
Okay. Hey, I just wanted to introduce the debate tonight, if you call it a debate.
We are calling it a debate.
So, as near as I can get to what the topic is or the subject of the debate, something to do with education or regulation, what's the key to gun safety?
Gun safety?
Yeah, I think part of the people there believe that education about firearms is the way to have gun safety, and part of the people feel that it requires regulation.
Because we're dealing with the issue of gun violence. I've got to make sure.
Okay, well, you got to talk into the phone.
Oh, yeah.
I can talk into the phone here, yes.
You have to hold the
phone.
Okay, thanks. And so I just wanted to say I hope you guys have, you know, don't get too stressed out.
And, well, we have John, our not-so-shy John is here, and he is our stress measure. So he will give us a vibes motion if things get too hot here.
And also...
No, vibes. Like this.
And we got Brad to the bone here.
I want to just remind you to call Brad Friedman from.
I have his number, and Brad's a good guy.
So it's bradblog.org.
Yes.
And all right, good luck, guys. I can't wait to hear it.
All right, thank you very much, Nick. We are beyond consensus here on killradio.org. I'm DJ Bennett. Let's go around the table and introduce ourselves. First.
I'm not so shy, John. I'm sitting to Bennett's left here. And go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Mike the Mike.
You're the Mike.
Mike the Mike.
Brad of the Bone here also.
Stez sitting here on the far left that has nothing to do with my actual political position.
Okay, I'm going to make a very brief introductory statement, which is that generally... This is the safest society that this earth has ever known, the world that we're living in now. We have less crime is going on now than has been in a long time. But the reason that this issue has come up is because mass shootings have been going on in this country for a long time. We've had dozens and dozens. In fact, they average out to 3 or 4 a year, every year. And... We had a vote in the Senate to try to pass new background checks as a way to deal with this issue, and it did not pass. The president just today had the families from Sandy Hook back into Congress to talk to people, just today. So the issue is still going on. Just last Friday here in Los Angeles, we had a mass shooting. Mass shootings are defined by the FBI as an action where 4 people get shot in a short period of time or more. 4 or more people get shot in a short period of time. But in general, those are unpredictable events, and they are very rare. Brad to the bone.
Yeah, I wanted to go get started here with just 5 minutes on some basic education, actually. There's some, because of this is brought to the forefront in the media, I've been shocked and surprised at how many people in high places, including one Senator Feinstein, who know so little about firearms. For example, sweeping the room that day, there's a famous picture running all over the net of her sweeping the room with a AR and her finger on the trigger. that's one of the 6 no-nos you don't do. That's one of the 6 no-nos when you have a firearm. So, anyways, and there's a few definitions that are going around as well. So let me go over those real quick as far as the education portion of this show goes. AR. An AR is a Armalite rifle. It is not an assault rifle. And the term AR has been used interchangeably with assault rifle erroneously. AR came from Armalite, which is a brand. It's a brand name used synonymously with other similar style rifles. That's all. Then there's an actual assault rifle. Assault rifle is actually a selective fire rifle, and that means you can actually change how that rifle fires from semi-automatic, which means you've got to pull the trigger each time you fire a round, to fully automatic. And those have been outlawed, I believe, since 1981. So
86.
Okay, thank you, Mike. 86. And we're not allowed to have assault rifles anymore. So there's a big misnomer out there with trying
unless
to...
Unless you live in a state that allows them and you can pay the thousands of dollars
right.
to get a pre-ban transferable pre-86 NFA item, like in Arizona or somewhere.
So Arizona has a rule that you can do that.
Well, it's that they don't have any restrictions beyond the federal one, and you still have to go through a 6-month wait, roughly, to get approved for transfer of a pre-ban NFA item.
You got to jump through hoops.
Right. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, thank you, Mike. We're trying to. I'm kind of from being a native Californian. Assault rifle actually isn't in my foresights, so so to speak. No pun intended. Bullet. That's different from a round. A bullet is the actual projectile that comes out of your firearm. That is not a round. The round is the case, the primer, the powder, and the bullet. And there's some confusion between clip and magazine. A clip is a device that actually feeds a magazine. You use that to feed your magazine. The magazine is simply the container that holds and feeds your rounds of ammunition. So those are not interchangeable. A magazine is the proper term that's erroneously being called a clip in many cases by some politicians again. So, revolver versus a semi-automatic, that's pretty straightforward. Most of us know it's a repeating firearm that has a revolving cylinder that flips around.
Sure.
The cylinder contains multiple rounds. And then there's a semi-automatic, which is a firearm that performs all the steps to fire again after each trigger release. And again, a semi-automatic is not the same as an automatic weapon. A semi-automatic, you must pull the trigger each time you fire a round. So those are some of the basic things. What worries me most these days is that more and more people are living in the cities now than in the country. And because of that, when you lived in the country, you grew up with firearms. You lived on the farm, you lived in the country, you grew up with firearms. You knew how to operate them from the time you were a kid. Your parents passed that knowledge on. You learned gun safety, you learned all the proper safe operations. More and more people are living in the city now, and they don't grow up with firearms anymore. So now we have this fear of the unknown and a ignorance to firearms, and the only thing we hear in mass media is death. Firearms are causing death. Yes, well, firearms have always caused death, and we're here to discuss that a little bit. And finally, as far as California goes and education, there is an education program in process. Anytime you need to buy a handgun, you need to have a handgun certificate. And in order to get that certificate, you must take a test. And the test is 30 questions. I'm proud to brag. I made 30 out of 30 on that when I took mine. And there are basically six things about a firearm that I also wanted to state, and this will be my conclusion here. There are six basic things for firearms. Number one, treat every firearm as if it's loaded. Number two, keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to fire that firearm. Number three, know your target, know what's behind it, know what's around it and everything. Number four, know the proper use of your firearm and how it operates. Number five, know the proper storage of the firearm. And number six, and this was out of order a little bit, this was actually one of the earlier ones, always keep your firearm pointed in a safe direction. So some simple things. If everybody knew these things, we might have some safety right there off the bat. So whoever wants to take up next.
May I state that since you mentioned Ms. Feinstein, I do want to state that whether she knows proper gun etiquette, which of course is important, but to say she doesn't know anything about guns when she was there trying to hold Mayor Moscone's chest in when he'd been shot to death, and she was, and he bled all over her, I'd say that that's a pretty good firsthand experience of what guns can do, at the very least.
She also is a gun owner, and she also, what's interesting about Feinstein is that she championed a bill which I believe passed without any real discussion a few years ago, which enabled foreign military, anyone working out of an Israeli embassy, to carry a fully automatic Uzi on American soil without any permits. So she champions that for citizens of foreign countries, but apparently it's not good enough for the citizens of the state of California.
Oh, it's a trained personnel of foreign countries.
That's good.
True.
Yeah.
Good point.
No, but you're making a good point too, Michael. Don't get me wrong.
You know? I mean, it just seems to me like, it's like in America, you have, you know, it used to be you have the right to bear arms, and maybe, you know, we wanted to restrict that to lawful residents or citizens. Now it's the opposite. Now it's to the elites, regardless of what nation you're from, which is a whole different paradigm, I think, than the original intent of the Second Amendment, regardless of what side of the spectrum you're on. I think if you just read the Constitution kind of openly, that's kind of cause for concern.
The part about the militias, since an orderly mission is... An orderly militia is required for the security of the state.
Well, the actual word is well-regulated militia. Being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
And since the United States has not had a militia for a long time, and since Switzerland actually has a real militia, but in most cases, when a militia is the United States, it's the Aryan Nations or some group basically designed to overthrow the government.
Well, I would say the army is our militia.
Well, originally, the National Guard
professional
Act
army counts as a militia.
Based on the point of view that when they wrote this, the term well-regulated meant that it runs well. Not that it has a lot of regulation, but that it runs well. And so since there wasn't an army at the time of the Constitution, there wasn't an army completely set up, the idea was that individual states and individuals, the militia, the people who do raise arms, need to be well-regulated, need to be well-run, and so that became the army. So the Second Amendment initiated what became the U.S. military. I mean, it's not just the army. It's the Navy and the Air Force and the Marines and all that.
You could look at it that way, or you could say that to kind of entertain the point that he made about militias in the modern context, you could say that the free militia as a pre-existing organic concept in American society, as a group willing to take up arms against the state as a last resort if need be, pre-existed and was the foundation of this country that's given us so many civil liberties.
Perhaps a precondition, but not the existing state, a successful state, and states which have to deal with militias are states like Iraq.
They didn't have to... Well, that's a separate issue I won't get into.
Well, I don't really think that gun safety is a Second Amendment issue. I'm willing to talk about the Second Amendment because we're talking about firearms.
Yeah.
But at the same time, gun safety, the stuff Brad to the Bone just mentioned, is really about just being smart with your equipment, with the materials that you have.
If I make a comparison, you have to read a book and pass a test to get a driver's license. And, a vehicle can be a very dangerous thing, although most people drive their cars around their whole lives and don't die from it, but it still happens every day. And there again, it's a right, not a privilege, right? Isn't that what they say?
As a comparison.
Yeah, that's a valid point to bring up. Vehicles, however, have obviously statistic-wise kill a lot more people than firearms do.
Yeah.
And,
actually, no, there are more guns than
DJ Bennett actually had the statistic. There are how many millions? There are more millions of guns in the United States than there are people.
In 2009, there were 310 million firearms, 114 million handguns, 110 million rifles, 86 million shotguns.
Yeah.
And how many people?
In 2009, 305 million in 2009.
So surprisingly, there are more guns than there are people in this country. So considering considering the amount of deaths we've had due to firearms, that's actually pretty good statistics there.
That's why I say we're safer than ever. It's just not happening as
much. Yeah, we do need to do something about gun safety, and firearms can cause deaths by getting in the wrong hands. So maybe I want to steer this now to the direction of mental health. Mental health issues. What do we think about that?
Well, to lead into that, most of the people who commit crimes with guns are young men, 17 to 24 years old. Not all, of course. They're just a percentage of it. Between 17 and 19, which is 4.3% of the population, they commit 11.2% of firearm deaths. And 20 to 24-year-olds, who are 7.1% of the population, commit 22.5% of firearm deaths. So we're talking about... Young men are the ones that cause most of the problems.
And also young men are what cause most crime.
True enough. In the U.S., we have three homicides per 100,000 in the population. Okay? In the UK, it's 0.07% or 0.0 less than 1.07 homicides per 100,000 people. In Germany, 0.02 homicides per 100,000. Switzerland, 0.52 homicides per 100,000 people, and yet they rank third highest in percentage of guns. So we are talking about something that happens in the U.S. that's different from the rest of the world. We shoot more here than other countries.
Yeah, statistics can be spun a number of different ways, and considering how many...
And Brad's about to do his own version right now.
Brad to the bone is about to do his own version. Well, I actually don't have specific statistics. Say that real fast. Specific statistics. Woo! That's a tongue twister. Mike may have something more specific on that, but considering the number of firearms in this country, if you spin that, how many homicides there are now, and you didn't say homicides by firearm, you just said homicides.
Well, it was by firearms.
Okay, those are homicides by firearm.
Yeah.
If you consider how many firearms there are in this nation and compare them to how many firearms there are in another nation and how many deaths there are per firearm that are present, you might come up with something a little bit different.
Oh, very much. Well, also let me mention that in 2004, 36.5% of Americans claim to own firearms. That is down. In 1989, 46% of Americans said they owned firearms.
I don't think that's right.
I've heard that statistic too.
Yeah, these are from congressional statistics. They're in here, but
yeah,
you know.
I heard a lot more homes own firearms than that. But
well, that's people who are volunteering that information, and maybe that shows that okay. Among gun owners there is a culture of fear, you know, and uncertainty about what's going to happen in the future. But while we're at the point of mental health, I think what's really worth looking into is. There's two issues here, which is obviously that, yes, extremely mentally unstable people are more likely to do irrational things. But the other issue is that conversely, you know, we're living in a society that's resembling more and more the Soviet Union when it comes to how readily it labels people that might otherwise be productive, but perhaps think outside the box mm-hmm. as mentally ill as a way of preventing dissident voices from arising within the population. And so, I mean, we're living in the Prozac Nation came out in, what, 2004, that book? Something like that. We're living in this society where an ever-increasing number of young people have at some point in their life been given anti-whatever, whether antidepressants, antipsychotics, whatever, and in which...
But what does that have to do with dissent? Are all the dissenters being put on Prozac?
No, but that's a separate issue. But historically, governments use mental health to demonize dissenters.
And how is that working in the United States? You're saying this is happening.
I think it's something to be concerned about. And when you create
but
laws,
is it happening?
You create the potential for abusive laws.
But do we have abusive laws that do that?
Well,
I think we do. In California, for example... someone on the mere psychiatric evaluation for 5 years has their right to bear arms suspended when they are simply given a 3-day evaluation and then turned loose. Even if it's decided that they're not a danger to anybody, they still get stripped of their rights for 5 years in the state of California. And I think that's a travesty. And anyhow, over to Brad here.
Yeah, how many of you have heard about the government getting into our medical records now and going through our medical records with a fine-tooth comb looking for any shred of evidence that there could be some mental health issue and then going door-to-door looking for firearms?
I haven't heard of that. I'm not going to say you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong, but I have heard of it. So.
California recently allocated something to the tune of, what, $40 million towards going door-to-door looking for firearms in the wrong hands. So, I mean...
Where did you hear that?
They're going to hire more officers. What is it?
They allocated
DOJ?
A budget for the DOJ to do this.
Yeah,
the
to get more
officers.
DOJ
already has a program. It was on the news that when they first initiated it a few years ago on New Year's or around New Year's.
California is funding the DOJ? The DOJ
no,
is a
California
federal
has its own DOJ.
It would seem to me that the way that they're applying this is when they do gang sweeps, And when they unseal sealed indictments and they go and you know, grab large groups of men who are up to no good and have warrants on them, and if they gather weapons in those kinds of sweeps, then I would think that it's righteously so, and probably a lot of those guns are illegally held anyway. Because I hear nothing about, you know, that would immediately become a constitutional right issue if they started going door to door for any reason. And I highly think that all of that is rumored by people who are alarmists who are trying to sell more guns and sell more ammunition.
Well, the fact is, though, that after Hurricane Katrina, they did just that. Brad here's wearing an Oath Keepers shirt, and that group was formed by a lot of veterans who were alarmed after they did just that in Hurricane Katrina.
Right. Wow. The veterans are on the defensive right now because they're being labeled with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and they're being asked to turn in their firearms. Katrina itself, however, did not directly have anything to do with mental illness. Katrina was simply going door to door, going to the islands out there in the Everglades and saying, we need your firearms. Nobody's going to be allowed to have firearms after this hurricane.
It was martial law.
Yeah, and they still, those people have not had their firearms returned. They did not get receipts for them. No receipts were written. The police refused to write receipts. They said, we don't have time to write receipts. And they're still trying to get their firearms back.
I would not call that a government do. I would call that individuals doing it on their own.
Local.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how, you know, I don't know how to balance that with larger issues.
Yeah.
Let me mention.
I wasn't there, so I don't know.
Exactly. I mean, obviously, we're not going to resolve anything today. We're just going to kind of mess the issues. And if this is interesting, we could do this again. You know, we don't have to do this just as a one-time thing. And by the way, I'm going to give out the phone number now, but we still have plenty to talk about, right? The phone number here, why don't we make this towards the end?
We can take
but
a break,
if you want to call, the phone number is 213-252-0998.
That's right. 213-252-0998. You want to go to a break?
Oh, what the heck. Sure, let's go to a break.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Here's something Brad prepared.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time, just like Gonzales. We're keeping our guns.
Oh, yeah. Clint. I love Clint.
Well, let's just... here are some of the incidents that caused this to be part of our consciousness. In Sandy Hook on 12/14/12, a guy named Adam Lanza killed his mother, took the weapons that she had legally procured, and he decided to shoot up a school that he had... No, he hadn't. That's what they told originally, but he'd never attended there. And in fact, the reason that he chose to shoot up the school was to make a name for himself. That's why he did it. At the same day in China, a Chinese man stabbed 22 children and one adult with a knife. None of them died, as opposed to 26 dying in the States. But then there's, in 2011, there's Anders Behring Breivik, who killed 76 people in Norway.
He's a political prisoner, though. That's a different matter.
Well, now he is.
Not when he was shooting him up. James Holmes in Aurora, who is also alive. Is James Holmes a political prisoner?
No, he's not resisting a government that's lost its right to govern Norway.
He's saying that he's saying now that he wasn't guilty, that he was just out of his head. But nobody paid attention to the fact that he amassed 6,295 rounds in the 2 months before he shot up the Aurora movie house. and all those
people were shaking their heads at him and letting go about his business. Yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there was no good guy with a gun to stop him or scare him off. So.
Well, I got a point about that too.
All right. Well, we'll get into that in a minute. But I've got something here from CNN regarding Newtown. In Ohio, the Buckeye Firearms Association, which is a gun right pack, I'll admit that, and they've launched a program to educate teachers on how to take down a gunman. They were mocked, they said, when they first wanted to teach that class. Jim Irvine said, the president of Buckeye, and people doubted if we could fill the class. Yet more than 1,400 school staff members applied for the first 24 spots first offered in late December last year. So the interest in arming teachers has grown among school staff and gun rights groups and lawmakers in the aftermath of the mass shooting at Sandy Hook, in which 20 students ages 6 and 7 were killed. Gun rights groups have sponsored classes for teachers in a number of states now, from Texas to Ohio, and in the 6 months since the mass shooting at Sandy Hook, legislatures in at least 30 states now have proposed laws allowing teachers and other school staff to carry firearms on primary and secondary school campuses, according to Lauren Hines, which is a research analyst at the National Conference of State Legislatures. In most states, the bills have failed, however, but the laws that have been enacted in South Dakota, Alabama, Arizona, and Kansas. Texas, which already allows staff to carry firearms with school approval, passed two new laws creating a school marshal program and addressing training teachers to carry firearms. So, it's sad. It's sad that we have to come to this, but many places are actually considering arming their teachers to protect their children. And, boy, I'm glad my children are in college now.
Thank God.
And my son, bless him, he got out of Santa Monica College just a couple of years ago. He's at UC Santa Barbara now, which unfortunately is also a gun-free college.
Well, maybe he can go to Virginia Tech.
We got Brad now.
Brad's on the phone, yes. But I wanted to mention that, can you give me one example where a good guy with a gun has actually stopped a mass murderer from shooting people? There's not one example that I know of.
No, I cannot, because unfortunately, or fortunately for the murderers who are smart, they've gone into gun-free zones knowing that there won't be an armed good guy there. Most of these mass murders have taken place in gun-free zones.
I would like to actually give an example of one. The Tucson shooting. A lot of the people who tackled that guy,
because he had to change rounds.
Yeah, but they had pistols with him, and they chose not to shoot because they were worried that they wouldn't be able to get at someone. However, just having those guns with them gave them perhaps the courage, and they tackled him. So they were carrying guns. They didn't feel they followed gun safety, unlike the bad guy. They didn't, shoot at him. But I would give him. But I mean,
so if we carry guns, we'll be able to tackle the gunman.
Well, you don't always have a clean shot, and the role of the good guy is unfortunately has a lot more ethical limitations than that of the bad guy does.
I'm going to bring Brad into this in a minute, but I have one statement. One of the dumbest things that I heard recently was when Wayne LaPierre stated that I wish there had been a good guy with a gun at the Boston bombing. Now, since they didn't know who set those bombs off at the time of the explosion, the idea, the image of a bunch of people running around with guns all of a sudden after the explosion, that's not very bright.
Well, what's interesting is that the police were confiscating guns, or at least there were early rumors of it after Boston.
In Boston itself?
Yeah.
Were they or weren't they? Rumors don't count.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. All right,
no
receipts for you. I'm bringing Brad Friedman, who has a show on KPFK and does Brad Blog. Right?
I do indeed.
Yes, and you are now on the air with us here at Beyond Consensus.
Hey, Brad.
Hey guys. Good to talk to you. I can only hear some of you way in the background there, but I've been listening online and enjoying the show, although I should say I've been taking some notes. I've been doing sort of some instant fact-checking on you guys because I've heard about 6 or 7 pretty bad errors, if you want me to correct them for you.
Please, please, please.
Okay, first we start, and actually I don't know everybody's name, so my apologies, because I'm not sure who had said what. But
okay.
Initially, at the top of the show, you said that the background check bill did not pass in the U.S. Senate. That's incorrect. Okay. It was actually not voted on.
Oh.
It would have passed because a cloture failed. A cloture vote failed. It was 55-45 in favor of cloture. But that was not enough because, as you know, now in the U.S. Senate, democracy is meaningless. Mm-hmm. Majorities don't mean anything. You have to have 60 votes to do anything. But it would have passed by a landslide, frankly, 55-45, that background check bill.
That's an important correction. Thank you very much.
And by the way, and this is really, I'll go through some more of my fact checks in a second, but this is my biggest concern, is not what laws are passed or are not passed when it comes to gun safety, but the fact that we can't even have a debate and a vote on this issue at all. That, in fact, 90%, over 90% of Americans support background checks. Again, the lowest hanging fruit
of
all of this
stuff.
And yet, and that includes, by the way, 85% of Republicans, 78% of NRA members support universal background checks, but we can't even get a vote on it. That is what is a disgrace about this entire
thing. Hold on one second, Brad. Yeah. Why do you disagree with that, Mike?
Some people have actually done research and traced the 90% of Americans statistic, and it came from a... The 90% statistic, as far as I know, came from a website that it was an online poll that was mainly targeted towards Democratic Party members. So that's hardly an objective sampling of the American people to have an online poll that's targeted towards
that's
a partisan audience.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was three different polling companies. It was Gallup, Rasmussen, and PPP, Public Polling Policy. Three different polls all found those numbers. It was another group that found, I think it was July 2012, that polled gun owners and found that among gun owners, 78% of those who were NRA members supported this.
That's
so
true.
These are just facts. They can be checked out. You know, I don't expect anybody to believe me, you know, about anything. But I don't generally report stuff unless I can independently verify it myself.
But not good enough. We still have loopholes in the background checks. That's why we need better background checks.
Oh, we have huge loopholes. 40% of gun sales face no background checks at all.
I don't believe that.
That's through the guns. That's gun shows. That's where the guns. That's why the gun shows exist in order to have
across state lines.
Yeah. Yes, Brad.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
No.
You have to get to the mic.
I have to speak into the... Well, but you can't hear me. You can't be listening because it's delayed. So
no, I can hear you. I just can't hear the people
else.
In the background.
Unless we hand the phone around.
Yeah. Brad, say something to him.
Okay, I'll run through a couple of other quick fact checks here.
He's referring to the other Brad. There's another Brad here, Brad of the Bone. Hi, Brad. I'm Brad of the Bone.
Hey, Brad.
There's two Brads. It's a great name.
It is.
Yeah.
It's the new Bradcast here.
Yeah, the new Brad. There we go. Hey, yeah, thanks for calling in. I recall that the majority of the criminals where guns are used in crimes to commit murders, the majority of those criminals do not get their guns from gun shows. They get them from on the street and illegal sales, and they steal them. So those are the statistics I've seen. So.
Well, no matter where those criminals get their guns, someone bought them in the first place unless they made them themselves, maybe on a 3D printer or something, but they were bought at some point. And again, I'm not even necessarily arguing in favor of background checks. I'm arguing in favor of being able to have a vote on these issues, particularly those that are so wildly popular among the American people, that we're not even allowed to have because we have a lobbying group, and that's what the NRA is. It is not the 501c3 charity, as they claim to be.
Well,
it is a lobbying
group. They're a 501c4, and they say, which means that they claim that they're a welfare organization, and they are a political organization. If the IRS is going to target anybody, the NRA deserves to be targeted.
They deserve to be put out of business. They are a terrorist-supporting organization. They should be put out of business.
Now, at least two of the people in the room disagree with that, but I do agree with you, Brad. I agree with you. Totally agree with you.
Well, look, they're the U.S. Congress is not really debatable in that.
One second, Michael. Go ahead. Go ahead, Brad.
I'm sorry. Actually, I don't mean to talk over you guys. It's hard to hear when they are talking. But no, it's not even debatable. They support terrorists being able to buy guns. This was a big issue. They went to bat, the NRA did, to keep people who are on the terrorist watch list, who are not allowed to get on planes, to make sure that those people could still buy guns.
Let me state real quick that what the NRA started with and what they were, I mean, into the 60s, they were still a family-related organization that was about gun safety. But in 1977, they were taken over by politicos, and they are now primarily a gun lobbying organization for the gun manufacturers, and what they're about is selling more guns.
That's right. Okay. That's right. And
here's
they're willing
Mike to talk.
Okay, so that terrorist supporting remark, I couldn't let that go. Okay, first off, someone being accused of a crime does not make them a criminal. And ultimately that's what you're saying. And if that's the case, then we ought to immediately have an impeachment of the president because of everything that the Tea Party accuses him of, by your own logic. It is audacious and it is outrageous to say that because someone is accused of possibly maybe being a terrorist, in the exact words of Rahm Emanuel, that they should not be allowed to own or purchase a firearm. That is there's no real argument against that being an infringement. It simply is. It would be what's the term for it? It would be a
innocent until proven guilty, unconstitutional.
It would be a complete violation of the Fourth Amendment and not just the Second Amendment.
And so you're in favor then of allowing those people who are on the terrorist watch list to fly on planes too, because you're equally outraged that those people on that list are not able to fly, right?
Yes, I would, and I would also argue that
I'm on the terrorist.
I would also
fly planes.
I would also argue that the terrorist watch list doesn't adequately cover people. For example, Senator John McCain recently went to Libya and met with members of the Al-Qaeda-affiliated subdivisions within the Free Syrian Army, including someone who is at the top of the terror list. Senator McCain recently met with and shook hands with and did his little photo op with. And so he's not on the no-fly list, but there's lots of Americans who are. So it becomes more of a political thing. And
no, listen, I think the terrorist watch list is frankly a joke. There are hundreds of thousands of people on the list. But if we're not going to let them fly on a plane, it's hard to believe that the NRA would go to bat for them being able to buy guns. Furthermore, that's not the only case to argue that they support terrorists. They went out and lied, blatantly lied about this UN arms trade treaty recently that was meant to keep guns from being sold internationally to terrorists. States, you know, to states with human rights abuses and so forth, to try to keep those guns out of the hands of drug lords and pirates. And Wayne LaPierre went out, and he's the vice president and CEO of the NRA, went out and lied, blatantly lied, and said that treaty will undermine the Second Amendment. It's a complete lie.
Yeah.
And people bought it, and right now this treaty is probably not going to be ratified in the U.S. Senate because of those blatant NRA lies.
I wanted to go back to a previous point you made, which was about democracy being dead. Democracy is dangerous to liberty. I mean, there's no way around it. For example, in the Third Reich, the majority of the population democratically elected Chancellor Adolf Hitler, and yet, obviously, he committed atrocities and lost the right to govern by any rational perspective. So
if you don't care for our Constitution, then you can go out and make amendments to it and change it if
we're
you
a
don't
republic.
Like
we're
it.
We're not a democracy. We are a government. We are governed by the principle not that the majority has the right to vote to kill someone or to strip their rights without trial, but that the individual rights trump the existence of statutes which overreach.
We have a representative democracy. The Congress is charged with passing laws. If they are not allowed to vote on laws because of an unconstitutional 60-vote requirement, that is, in its by its very definition, both undemocratic and unconstitutional. So if you want to change that, that's fine. But to say in one breath that democracy is not a good thing, and in the other breath we must defend the Second Amendment and the pretend idea that it allows anybody to buy any type of arms, I think you need to pick a point of view from those two.
I agree with that.
I don't think that's fair at all, because I think what we're reaching here is this great impasse that's brewing in the American public, where there's these two points of view, which is this point of view that, you know, a majority can simply rewrite the rules as they see fit, or are there pre-existing principles and basic human rights at stake?
But we have, you know, if you don't like the way things are, that's why we have elections. That's why things change over time, you know?
You're talking in the wrong end. The bottom, there you go.
I'm sorry. But that's why we have elections. You know, that's why a term of office is only 4 years for the president.
But all of us who swear an oath of office, I mean, I'm on the executive committee of the Republican Party of LA County. It seems like a very lowly office, right? I mean, 3,000 votes to get elected is hardly a big office, right? And everyone from that lowest level is sworn that you will uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States and your state or whichever entity you're elected to represent the people of. And so the thing is that you do not have the right to pass a law which violates the rights of any other citizen.
Hang on.
Let him finish his answer.
They do have the right to pass a law of any type they want. What they it can then be challenged by the judiciary branch. We have three different branches. It can be challenged. But to say that there's some imaginary right that people have to buy any type of guns they want without any background check, where is that in the Constitution, please?
Okay, well, let's have – John has a comment to make.
Stez has a comment that – as a member of the committee, you are responsible to the Republic, but you're also mostly responsible to the Republican Party, which was happy to pass laws which violate other people's freedom to do things. You know, such as having an abortion. I mean, what if we had the ability, abortion is a right according to the Supreme Court, you know, having firearms is a right. What if we had the restrictions on having firearms we had for having abortion? Suppose that you could buy firearms in one place in the state. Suppose it's only open certain days a week, that you had to go first to get your firearm, be dissuaded from having it, then come back, and then finally have an ultrasound wand put up a bodily orifice in order to buy the gun.
Okay, well, we're divesting a little bit from the topic, Brad. Was there anything else you'd like to add?
Actually, that's a good point. I mean, we pretend that we have these certain rights that we do not. If you're going to defend the Constitution, then defend all of the Constitution, not just some of them. Yeah, just I'll hit one or two more, and I'll let you guys go. But there was a couple of pretty egregious errors that I wanted to make. In regard to no good guy with a gun, in fact, I've been asking since the Sandy Hook shooting for any example, anywhere, anytime, where a semi-automatic rifle with a large magazine was needed to stop any crime, and nobody has been able to tell me. And I've been asking on air, I've been asking on my blog, I've been asking on Twitter. Nobody can find any such example.
There was one example in Israel of an Israeli soldier who was off duty who had a weapon on him, and he stopped a suicide bomber.
No, not one that was needed. I'm sorry, not one that was used, but one that was needed. In other words, I suspect had that same guy had a shotgun,
and shot the guy in the head one time, it probably would have stopped the suicide bomber.
Yes.
But the place where you guys had an error here was in Tucson. And in fact, it was not a guy with a gun who tackled the shooter. It was an old lady with no gun at all, literally, who tackled the shooter when he had to, when his magazine, his 30-round magazine, had run out. And by the way, that old lady who was only able to do it when he had to switch his 30-round magazine, had he had a 10-round clip. She could have done it 20 shots earlier. But not only did that old lady tackle this guy, but that old lady almost got shot herself because a guy who was carrying came running out of the grocery store, pulled out his gun, and was about to shoot her because he thought she was the shooter.
Okay, we kind of need to finish up on our end because we only have a few minutes left here. So thank you very much for calling in, Brad.
My pleasure. Great talking to you guys. Keep up the good discussion.
This has been great fun and great discussion, and thank you for making some good points.
You bet.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Play my clip.
Should we take a break now?
We're going to take a break, right. And this time we're going to play a DJ here on Kill Radio told a story yesterday that that Not So Shy John felt was a good anecdote for us to listen to.
You know, the one anecdote I'll leave you with, yesterday I was with my son. We're at the park. These little boys are all dressed up in Star Wars and Batman and Superman and shit. Mm-hmm. They got guns and swords and all these play toys.
Yeah.
And they're doing little boy shit. They're running around playing superheroes and getting in sword fights and gun fights and fist fights.
Like
and
we all used to.
Play fights.
Yeah.
Not real fights, obviously. These are little kids that are all around my son's age,
they're
right?
Watching TV, yeah.
Right. But the one kid's dressed like a stormtrooper from Star Wars, and he's got, you know, a big sword, and, you know, he's running around swinging his sword at everybody. And my son gets asked by them to run around and play superheroes with them, and he wants to be with the bigger boys.
Right.
So he goes running off to play with them. As I'm standing over talking to one of their dads, he comes running back and goes, Daddy, you got to protect me. And I go, what do you mean? And he goes, they want me to fight. They're trying to fight me. And I said, well, they're just pretending. They're just playing, bud. They're not really trying to hurt you.
They're playing
superheroes, bud.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, but I don't want to fight. And I go, well, you don't have to fight. I go, but you just got to understand, they're not really trying to fight you. They're just playing.
Yeah.
This is play fight, like play fighting. And he goes, well, I don't want to play fight. And I go, well, you don't have to play fight. I go, but if you don't want to, you should probably put down that sword. Because they'd handed him this little sword. I feel like I'm like Gandhi or some shit, you know? You really need to put down that sword. Because if you hold the sword, they probably think you want to play fight. And he's
like,
well, okay. So he puts the sword down. And without any prompting, he runs over to these boys and he goes, guys, I don't want to play fight. Sorry, I don't want to play fight. I'm sorry. And then he goes running off. A grandmother of one of the kids sees this act and says, wow, that's so cool. And I got to say, it is pretty cool. And I was proud of my kid.
That's real.
I was proud of him.
Wow.
So we can call that pussy if we want. I really don't care. We get them when they're young. We teach them to be peacemakers, man.
Wow.
It's the
I
way.
Believe in peace.
I'm telling you.
From the mouths of babes. Wow. That's
cool. I want to bring up, because we are coming to the end of this, I want to invite you all to think about coming back and doing another one of these.
Yeah, the time went so fast. There's so much more to cover.
And, Mike, you're great. I really want to hear you talk some more.
Yeah.
And we need to hear from Brad Friedman again. And
what are you?
Stez. Okay. Well, let's mention, here's some of the notes that I took. Here's some samples of what to do if you're in a situation where, if you're in a building somewhere and you start hearing gunfire, okay, first thing you do is you call 911, okay? Next thing you do is get the fuck out of there, okay? And if you find anybody around, you say, get out of here. And if they don't go, don't wait for them. Go. If you can't get out of there, then hide. Hide under a desk. Best would be to go into a locked room.
Play dead.
Yeah, or lying down also, not just for playing dead, but for stray bullets. I mean, lying down on the floor is your best bet.
Or, if you actually confront the shooter, do not be passive. Fight the motherfucker. Hit them with a chair. Hit them with a bag. Kick them. Do something, because your life depends upon it.
Yes. Surprisingly, if it's a handgun, they're actually not that accurate.
I'd also like to say that, you know, police are taught, and even getting my guard card, we were taught that your voice has a lot of power, and how you talk to that person, if you're like, oh, please put the gun down, you're going to get shot. And if you're like, motherfucker, put that gun down right the fuck now,
exactly.
Then
exactly.
You're likely going to put it down. Voice okay. command.
Another thing to do regarding mass shootings, because these things are so unpredictable, you cannot predict that it's going to happen. But one of the things that we need is a mental health hotline in which the governmental agencies, including local and national, have a hotline where we keep an eye on people. And that means that we're dealing with a bottom-up structure. So if your neighbor talks about violence or is starting to amass weapons, is starting to show paranoid thoughts, that's a person to keep an eye on. The guy who did the shooting just last Friday, all of his what his friends say?
They were saying, we were wondering if that when that was going to happen. They saw him collecting guns, but they didn't turn him in.
They didn't do anything.
Is it illegal to collect guns?
Well, no, but
if you start amassing a lot of them at once and you're talking violence all the time, I think that's something to pay attention to.
Duh.
You know? All right, 98.6 of mass shootings happened from a single attacker. 73% of mass fatalities involve guns. The location is a matter of opportunity. So, you know, a guy shoots up his family, that's because that's the best place he can do it. If you shoot up a workplace, it's there are places that are opportunities.
I'm just wondering how the fact that we can now 3D print firearms, that it's always been capable to turn one out with a milling machine, and that these Boston bombers used pressure cookers, somehow makes people think that keeping guns out of the hands of law-abiding citizens is going to do anything but cause more bloodshed. I mean, we're living in a society where you cannot control information.
Well, it is true.
This is the information revolution, an age, yeah. And it's a new age of human history.
I think the argument that we cannot keep the hands out of a determined criminal is not a good argument for saying we should make it easier for the lackadaisical criminals to get them.
Low-hanging fruit.
I agree. The causes of mass shootings and murders like this are, one, mental illness, psychopathy. Two, they feel victimized. It's usually a form of paranoia. They're paranoid. Three, they want fame and glory.
And access to the weapons.
It may, yeah, well, that once they have access to their weapons, it's easy, fame, and glory. You shoot somebody, you're a bigger star than American Idol. You know?
The way our media represents this stuff is really bad, especially when you've got every movie and every best-selling album promoting violence in some kind of way. Even that, what is it, Pumped Up Kicks about going in mass shooting?
You betcha.
Final argument about access. Yes, the movies do glorify violence. But you know what they also glorify? They glorify banging Anne Hathaway. Check out her last movie.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Les Miserables, she's getting banged. She's getting banged in all her flicks. Damn, I'd love to bang Anne Hathaway. We would all love to bang Anne Hathaway. But somehow it's not happening in Colorado movie theaters. It's not happening in Connecticut schools. And the reason is because, unlike guns, I cannot get access to Anne Hathaway in every Big Five.
All right, way to go out with a bang. Thank you, Stez. No pun intended, but that was beyond consensus here, and thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah,
we're going out with a bang here.
Yeah. We'll
close with a song here. Yeah, go to number two, the second one, playlist.
It's not going.
Somebody else talk.
Psychopathy. 2% of males display psychopathy, which means emotionless, impulsive, tough.
That's right. Yeah.
Mental health. It's not about psychotic breaks.
In an ideal world,
incidents in prisons.
In an ideal world, everybody would be an angel, and nobody would want to kill anybody. Everybody would have peace and love, and we wouldn't have any needs for any guns at all. Unfortunately, we're not there, not yet. Our society's not ready for that. But thanks for listening.
Oh, I'm a good old American. Now that's just what I am. And for the liberal nation, I do not give a damn. Don't want to rise against her, but I'll gather up my guns. My freedom won't be taken. I'll fight 'em till I've won. I hate a liberal nation and everything they do. I hate the social programs and stimulus bill too.
I think that last song is kind of sadly appropriate because we're seeing a real fractionalization where our political spectrum is becoming more and more divisive. I don't think there's really going to be anything but more conflict, and that's really tragic. Fathers, and even though I love guns and the Second Amendment, I love them because they can bring peace and depression, and it's sad to see us divide.
All right. Thank you, Mike, Stents, Brad to the Bone, Not So Shy John. I'm DJ Bennett. I think we should do another one of these and specifically address the National Rifle Association. Ooh, everybody goes, I don't know. I don't know. But I think that we do need to address it because we hit several issues today that come close. Anyway, this is Beyond Consensus here on killradio.org. And in just a couple of minutes, it's phase two. The phase two guys are in the doorway. They're chomping at the bit to get in here. So we're going to have to get out. So thank you for listening. You've been listening to killradio.org. Stay tuned.